Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And today we're going into the annals of history, and hopefully you'll be inspired by the work of Matthew Henry. The other day, my mother told me she'd finish reading through Matthew Henry's commentary series on the whole Bible. It took her a whole year. And the only thing I'd think was I bet it took Matthew Henry longer to write it than for my mother to read it. Certainly a long commentary series, something like 4,000 or 5,000 pages of commentary through the scriptures. And one of the most popular commentary series of all time, perhaps more reproduced and more used in Christian history than any other commentary series. So we're going to talk a little bit about Matthew Henry today. There's a surprising new documentary film that was just released last month called Matthew Henry, Life and Times of the Bible Commentator. And the producer of this film is Dan Hughes, who is a resident of Wales, so he comes to us from Wales today. Dan Pugh is the producer of the Matthew Henry documentary just released. Dan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be with you. Privilege.
Now, you live close to Matthew Henry country, where he was raised in the 17th century, so not too far.
Not too far at all. I'm a half-hour drive north of where Matthew Henry grew up, about a half-hour drive south of where he ministered, and about a 45-minute drive west of where he died. So, kind of center stage in Matthew Henry country.
I have to tell you, Dan, that where I live in Colorado, there's so little history. You know, the history of Colorado goes back maybe 100 years. So, you know, you don't see monuments, you don't see old architecture from the 17th century, but that's quite different. Out on the English Isles, you have way more history in your country than we do here. And I think probably more of an interest in history. Do you think that's true?
Potentially not. I mean, because when you grew up around it, there is a subconscious interest, but actually I think sometimes when you're so close to it, to our shame, we're not as, we don't have the interest that we maybe should have. I think for yourselves, perhaps some of you over in America, I know some Christians, they really love all the British heritage, and they come over and they're like, you know, kids in a candy shop, and they come over and see all the history. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think when you're surrounded by it growing up, it does, and certainly as I've got older, I've developed a keen interest in history. Mm-hmm. Because you just can't avoid it. It's everywhere. So yeah, I guess there's some truth in that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you produced this new documentary film, Matthew Henry, The Life and Times of the Bible Commentator. You know, might be somebody thinking that, now, that's not exactly the most exciting subject in the world, the life of a Bible commentator. Yet there's something significant about Matthew Henry. Tell us a little bit about why you did this project, why it's so important.
Well, the way the project developed was very organic. It didn't start out, I didn't one day get up and think, I'm going to make a two-hour film on Matthew Henry. So there's a small company in America called Media Gratia, and they produce some excellent content. They produce the Beholder of God study series, and they've recently released a project on the Puritans called Puritan, All of Life to the Glory of God. And I became aware of their work in about 5 years ago, and friends with the guy who runs that, Matt Robinson. And I've grown up with an interest in film and the art of film, and all those kind of different elements coalesced into my desire to make Christian documentaries. And there was about a two-year period of exploring how to get into that work. And one day I was sat down with my pastor down the road in my church, and we were discussing various media resources for the church that I could make just in my spare time while I was working a full-time job in an office. And he suggested, why not make a 20-minute biography sketch on video of Matthew Henry, because of all the locations that are so near to where I live. Pretty much every location that's relevant to Matthew Henry, bar the London ones, are within a half-hour drive from my home. So I thought, yeah, sure, why not? And there's a gentleman by the name of Philip Eveson, who used to be president of London Seminary, and he lives also in the same town where my church is, and he'd written a book on Matthew Henry. So he was a prime person to ask to present the documentary. And so I went away and asked Philip if he'd be willing to participate, and he said yes. I read his book to get a feel for what elements of the book I might extract and present on this short sketch. And as I was reading it, the man's life gripped me, because the man was a man who suffered a lot of hardship, bereavement, and in some ways persecution. And yet, reading his diary extracts, what came kind of crashing through was that this man was a man who, above all else, desired to follow his Savior, Christ, to be more conformed into his image and to bring glory to his Father in heaven. And in the midst of tumultuous circumstances, and it moved me, and I thought this, in the commentary on Matthew Henry, Matthew Henry's commentary is a internationally renowned commentary, and it came to me that this needs to be a two-hour, a feature film. I mean, 2 hours wasn't on my radar at that time, but it needed to be a feature film for the world, because I thought this is a story that nobody knows. Most people who know about Matthew Henry, all they know is that there's this commentary with a name on a spine, and that's all they know of the man's life. And I decided that this would be an opportunity to bring the man's life to the screen and the story of how he walked with the Lord, and what lessons we can learn from that. I didn't want it just to be a kind of History Channel kind of documentary just with the facts. I wanted it to be something that would be spiritually edifying, and that's something that we could take lessons from in how to follow after Christ and become more Christ-like in our walk with the Lord. So that's how it came about, really.
Hmm. Now, Dan, he was born during the height of Puritanism, really during the restoration of Charles II, I believe, and the great persecution of the Puritans. Seems persecution has a way of strengthening the church, and this was no exception in the life of Matthew Henry and his father, Philip. Would you agree?
I would, yes, because when persecution comes, you shine out the brighter when, you know, the pressure is on, but also you are caused to hold fast to Christ and to the Lord more. And in doing so, he can, when you have lost all your earthly supports, the Lord can do great things, and his manifest power can be seen more greatly. Yeah, I think that's very true of Matthew Henry's life, and Philip Henry too. They were men who didn't compromise when they were asked to by not just the state, but also the church, because the state church was... in 1662, there was an act of legislation that was passed called the Act of Uniformity, which basically required every minister in the land to declare publicly their approval of everything contained in the Book of Common Prayer, which is an Anglican prayer book written by Thomas Chalmers. And the requirement was that unless you adhere to this and gave your full allegiance to this book in the same way as you would the Bible, then you would be excommunicated from the church, you would lose your livelihood, your home, your job. And that was the crossroad you were at. Philip Henry, Matthew's father, he didn't compromise. He held firmly to his principles and left the church and ended up preaching to a congregation in his barn, on his farm. And Matthew Henry was born that same year and really struggled with similar state interference. There was an act called the 5 Mile Act, which was passed when Matthew Henry was a child, which meant that basically, if you were not within 5 miles of a church, you couldn't attend that place of worship. Many ministers were forced to hold their church services in their homes, and even then there was legislation that was passed where men there was a cap on people could attend, so you couldn't have more than five people in the place of worship, and if you broke any of these laws, you could be sent to prison, sent to the colonies in America. The punishment was severe, and yet these men shone brightly for the Lord in these times, in a way that's very inspiring and very encouraging.
And the effects were powerful, obviously, in the life of Matthew Henry. I was just reading the life of Philip Henry in preparation for this interview. It's a biography written by Matthew Henry for his father. And I was amazed at the regularity of family worship. This man held family worship twice a day. Quote, his expositions were plain and practical and such as tended to edification, helping to raise the affections and guide the conversation with his children. He also had his children write down his expositions, and Matthew Henry says what collections his children took with them off the expositions of their father. You think it was his father's family worship that influenced him towards writing the commentaries later on?
Yes, definitely. I think the influence of his father is undoubted and is demonstrable, I think, in his work. Philip's writing style can be seen in Matthew's writing style, so he certainly had a great influence on him. Philip Henry was educated in Oxford University, so had a very good education, and he brought that to Matthew Henry and to his other children. It's quite astounding to read things that you'd never... If we heard about this, about one of our children today, we'd think, man, this is like, they should be president or something because they're so gifted, or they should be the leading preacher when they grew up, because Matthew Henry he was reading the Bible and expositing the Bible at 3 years old, better than, he could read the Bible fluently. In 9 years old, I think he was leading prayer meetings with his siblings, which Philip asked him to do. So I think, Philip's influence in family worship and education is undoubted, and you can see his influence throughout his commentary and the effect that he had spiritually on Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry talks very affectionately about his father and about the times he had conversing with him and fellowshipping with him and being encouraged and blessed by him. It's really a beautiful father-son relationship that I try as best I can to draw out in the film.
Dan, what was the influence that Matthew Henry had upon his own times? I think of the period from 1680 to 1720 as a period in which Puritanism really came into a downgrade. And it does seem that there was something of a religious downgrade in England and America prior to the Great Awakening. Yeah. What was happening? Was Matthew Henry sort of in the minority trying to uphold a reformed and biblical spiritual state? What was going on during the life of Matthew Henry from 1680 through 1720?
Yeah, there's a number of things there, really. I think, first of all, I mean, Matthew Henry, there was nothing dramatic or nation kind of shattering in his ministry, in the same way as you might look to other people around that time, the Puritans, or you might think of Spurgeon or Whitfield and the effects they had on the nation. Matthew Henry, in one sense, just lived a very, a very peaceable, quiet life and just ministered with his own congregation, and his congregation was greatly blessed and grew under his ministry. So he was doing, the unsung work, in one sense, of being a pastor and being a faithful shepherd of God's flock, of the family of Christ. At the time, there was a lot more, there was a big shift at that time towards reason and science, which we can still see today in the predominant thinking, and that was really growing during Matthew Henry's young life into his adulthood. And Matthew Henry was definitely in the minority. He was one of the stalwarts who was holding firm to the conviction that spiritual piety and faithful adherence to Scripture and to the revealed Word of God, as illuminated and inspired by the Holy Spirit, was what was paramount. Many Christian, so-called Christians, were turning to the great allure of the new scientific wave that was coming through. And I guess that was, you have that, but also you have the decline of the Puritan era in general. Mm-hmm. Dr. Beakey, Joel Beakey, who your listeners may have heard of, talks about this in the documentary about how so many Puritans at that time had been jailed and persecuted. Mm-hmm. And many of the people at that time, if you recall, I mentioned the act of uniformity and the men who were excommunicated, they were also barred from going into any higher education universities like Oxford or Cambridge. And Oxford and Cambridge was where, I forget which one it was, but Dr. Beakey talks about Lawrence Chedderton and how he trained countless Puritans, hundreds of Puritans, you know, countless Puritans on end in his university there. And that was missing. So many were jailed. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, because of the absence of all of that, it sucked the life out of the movement. Mm. And if you bring those two things together, the persecution and the oppression of the state, along with the scientific shift in the way of people thinking that science was the answer and it was all about reason and morality, all these external things, mm-hmm. those combined really meant that Matthew Henry was in the minority, light shining in a dark place. Mm-hmm. And it's something to, the Puritan era, especially people who think about it and who hear about it growing up, they look at it as a kind of romantic period where everybody was a Christian and it was just a glorious golden age, where actually it was very much like our day. Mm-hmm. It was a case of, you know, small assemblies of God's people with ministers faithfully preaching the word against so much hostility and against the grain of where society was going. And yet these were men who were faithful and who God used, and God was faithful to them. Hmm. And it's, so certainly against the tide is what I'd say Matthew Henry was. And I think increasingly so, because the Puritan era was definitely coming to an end at that stage. But he himself was undoubtedly a Puritan. Hmm.
Well, it's encouraging to us that are facing the powerful zeitgeist, the worldviews that are so opposed to Christ. In our day, we are certainly in the minority. Almost every institution is diametrically opposed to God and to our Lord Jesus. And so it's encouraging to know that others have faced this. And of course, the difference for us is that, you know, we're not being arrested or fined and pushed out of our pulpits right and left as the Puritans were in the 1660s, 1670s, 1680s. So history can be a great encouragement to us. And appreciate the fact that you're putting this into a new film. Talking to Dan Pugh, who's the producer of a new documentary called Matthew Henry, The Life and Times of the Bible Commentator. Let's talk about the commentary series itself. Why do you think it's just been so popular? This is probably the number one most accepted commentary around the world for the last 300 years.
I think it's because it's a well-rounded commentary. It's very thorough and very consistent in its quality. It's a devotional commentary without being a devotional, and it's a expositional commentary without being a dry, exegesis, detailed, kind of, you know, technical commentary. So I think a gentleman in the film called Jeremy Walker puts it very well, where he talks about how the commentary was really a extension of Matthew Henry's preaching ministry, in the sense that he expounded the scripture, and in doing so was very thorough. He didn't leave anything out of the commentary, of his exposition. He exegeted everything that was in the passage that we could learn from that is relevant and important. And at the same time as doing that very, very thoroughly and comprehensively, he was applying it to the believer. If you read his commentary, he applies it to our walk with the Lord. We can use it in our devotions. So if we're having our daily devotions in the morning, we can have, you know, our Bible in one hand and Matthew Henry's commentary in the other. And we can see what he has to say on this and how it can be brought to bear upon the Christian's life. So maybe some of the listeners may have the idea of a commentary as being very, for academics maybe, or theologians, writers, those who don't, you know, it's not really for them. It's not really going to be, you know, down to earth or really help them everyday walk with the Lord. But Matthew Henry's commentary, I think it's lasted so long because it's both and. It has that expositional quality with a devotional quality, which means we know how we should then respond to these truths.
Yeah, and it seems that we're seeing a revival of interest in the Puritans these days. Do you find value in reading the Puritans, just in general? Do you find benefit in that?
I do. They're men who sought to live out what the Scripture has to say in every area of their lives. As the verse goes, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. These are men who live that. I actually have a Puritan book at the moment that I'm reading called Bruce Reed by Richard Sibbes.
That's
very
good.
Helpful, encouraging.
That's good.
Book. Mm-hmm. I would actually commend your listeners to look into a recently released publication by my friends in Mississippi, by Mita Grace, which Dr. Joel Beakey of Reformation Heritage Books has kind of spearheaded, called Puritan, All of Life to the Glory of God. They Google that, they will find it. A production which is a feature documentary on the Puritans. So it covers the whole kind of gamut of Puritan history and the key figures in that movement, as well as a book by Dr. Beakey and Michael Reeves, Introduction to the Puritans, and also 35 DVD lessons there, which you can go more in depth. A workbook with that. It's a very, certainly, comprehensive package, and I would encourage and commend that to your listeners, encourage them to go and seek that out if they're interested in the Puritans.
Good.
I think Puritans have a way of bringing things from God's word to light in a way that is in some ways unique. From what I hear, your response there is that that's a book that you've read, the Bruce Reed. Mm-hmm. Do you find them beneficial in your work as well?
I do. I like Thomas Brooks, Thomas Watson. We're going through John Owen's book, Mortification of Sin, with a small group in our church right now. So we try to stay with some Puritans. I call the Puritans the vegetables on your plate in a balanced reading diet. So that's typically, you want to have a little bit of meat and potatoes, and it's good to have some vegetables on the plate of your reading diet. And I always recommend the Puritans as excellent vegetables on the plate. So huge plug.
I guess some people might you know, not get past the some of the language, which is old, but mm-hmm. certainly worth your time. And actually, you know, I'm speak for myself, you know, I'm somebody who didn't grow up reading the Puritans. I didn't grow up reading Matthew Henry's commentary, although I heard a lot about it, kind of my local heritage. But as I've, you know, Christian, and then it's my walk with the Lord's God, and particularly with making this film and with productions that come out like The Holder of God and now this Puritan film, mm-hmm. pointing us to these old men, mm-hmm. Their writings. You know, my interest over the past few years has really begun, and I hope will grow. And so, I'm a prime example of somebody who grew up with very little knowledge of the Puritans. There were names I heard of, you know, there's names in there like Richard Sibbes and John Owen, who I heard from the pulpit quoted. Matthew Henry I heard quoted many times. But that was the extent, really, of my knowledge of them. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's not something for just us, you know, it's for anyone who is a Christian who wants to know how they can best serve the Lord and walk closer with him and be the salt and light in this world and know their God better. I was in a conference with Ligonier in London the other weekend, and a gentleman there said something very helpful. He said that although one of the key things that we can to help our spiritual walk is fellowship with other believers. It's absolutely vital that we fellowship and that we draw encouragement from each other in our walk with Christ and to strive to know him better. And he said that reading men, authors living and dead, he was referring to Sinclair Ferguson, who is a living author, who is very wise and a great theologian, but also these men from the past. You know, we can have, it's just in a strange way, you can have fellowship with them, not, and you can benefit from their wisdom from times gone by. So I'd definitely encourage your listeners to go and seek out Puritans and to read them. Invaluable.
Dan Pugh is producer of the new documentary Matthew Henry, Life and Times of the Bible Commentator, and the film is available at Media Gratia. Dan, thanks so much for joining us on Generations. I appreciate the conversation, and Lord bless your work there.
Thank you, brother. My privilege. Thank you.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.